There's a lot to worry about these days. A sagging economy, terrorist attacks on innocent victims, an election cycle that's creating tension, not only at home but around the world. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his brand new series on the fruit of the Spirit. Do you find yourself getting anxious about our times? In this next study, we're talking about God's perfect peace, how to obtain it, maintain it, and let it transform our lives. Chuck titled today's message, Don't Miss the Entrance to Peace. And we begin with prayer.
Hold us close to yourself, Lord, in this treacherous time in which we live. So much to make us anxious, so little reason to find peace. And yet you promised that to us. And you would never mock us promising what isn't possible. So I pray that you will use these two passages of Scripture and open our eyes to them in a new light, that we might realize that peace is not only a reality, but is ours to claim. We can even let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. May that become true more and more. May our eyes be open to what you have said about your truth and your peace from the pen of Isaiah and the writing of Hebrews. Thank you in advance for the peace that will take the place of panic and worry and fear in our lives. Lord, it's our privilege to give to you and your work, and we do so with great delight and with generosity. We find joy in releasing what is already yours. Find favor in the giver, the motive behind the giving. Be honored in the way these gifts are handled and spent, invested for your glory. May the cause of Christ be extended through the faithful giving of your people. Bless this offering and our time together. We pray in the matchless name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Did you know about the spiral-bound workbooks for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies? To dig deeper into the fruit of the Spirit, purchase a workbook today by going to insight.org/workbooks. And now the message from Chuck titled, Don't Miss the Entrance to Peace.
Isaiah, the prophet, wrote chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, a magnificent promise, not just to people back in ancient days when he lived, but in every era, every generation, including this one. Go back and look at that two-verse promise with me and allow me to sort of take it apart so that it really lands with both feet down inside our churning place. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. I love those words. I'm excited about pulling these words out and highlighting a couple of the more important ones for the sake of application. The first one is the first word, you. It doesn't mean you and me. It means the Lord our God. Okay? And every time "you" appears in these two verses, it refers to him, our sovereign Lord, our great God, our mighty, powerful God. Now, the second word that's of interest to me is the word "all." That would be everyone in the family of God. Everyone who knows Christ as Savior. If you're a Christian, your name is included in the word "all." Allow me. The Lord our God will keep in perfect peace every believer in Christ who trusts in the Lord our God. Every believer in Christ whose thoughts are fixed on the Lord our God. Trust in the Lord our God always, for the Lord our God is the eternal rock. He is central to this peace, and we are the recipients of it. Since Colossians 3:15 says, "Let this peace rule," then we have something we must do to make it happen. Look at the verses. "You will keep in perfect peace all who," there's the word, "trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Trust and fixing thoughts on are synonymous. They mean the same thing. It's the idea of leaning on, relying on, resting in, being sure of, believing in. So I'm sitting in my study going through this exercise, and this is exactly what I do in my study. I work over words like a dog gnawing on a bone. I go over the verse, I go through the verse, I read it aloud, I read it in other versions. I take words, I pull them out, I put synonyms in their place. I find other versions of the scripture and I will read that. That this is exactly the process. And I also have you in mind, knowing that illustrations bring light, like windows into a dark room. So I thought of my chair. Okay? You can think of your chair, the one you're sitting in, or the one you prefer to sit in at home. Most of us have our chair. I just came in and plopped down in my chair, sort of like you did in the one you're sitting in. I didn't walk around it. I didn't look underneath it. I didn't check the structure. I didn't ask anyone about how reliable the chair is. I just sat down in it, just like you did. And you, what? Trusted the chair to hold you up. And it did. You could rely on that chair. Now, that hasn't always been true at our church. When we first got started, we were meeting in a gymnasium, okay? This is years and years ago. And because no gymnasium has chairs, and if you're going to meet as a church in a gymnasium, you need chairs. So somebody had the bright idea of buying a bunch of cheap white plastic chairs, maybe from Walmart or one of the big box stores, okay? So they got, I don't know, 1,000 of these white plastic chairs. And you who are smiling know and will remember the white plastic chair. Somebody will often say to me when I'm down front meeting him, "I've been with you since the white chairs. I've been with you since we sat in the plastic chairs." Now, the good thing about them is you could stack them. You may remember, we would say to people, you who have been with us a long time, now, before you leave after our worship service, stack your chairs, okay? And people would start stacking chairs. And folks would do that, just very faithfully stack them. Some tried to build skyscrapers. They would stack them too high. No, just 5 or 6 high will be enough. But these plastic chairs, and then we would take them and put them in containers outside, store them until the next Saturday night or Sunday, whenever we set up for our church service. So everything was fine until one of them gave way. And then it got interesting. You would hear, and that would be a scream from somebody who was almost on the floor before the one behind him grabbed him under their arms and held him up, because the plastic leg broke on that chair. It can take just so much weight. No offense. It just won't hold up over the years. We were there a couple of years almost, and those chairs began to give way. So we began to warn people, as you sit down, be careful, because your chair may have a crack in it. The people got to where they would do this. They're looking for cracks before they sit down in the chair. You couldn't always see them. They weren't reliable chairs like mine is, and like mine at home is, and like yours is at home, and like the ones in here now, and like the Lord. He has no cracks when we trust in him. He has no weak points. He never gives way. He never breaks under a load, no matter how much we may weigh, or how often we may come to him, or how troubled we may be, or what our age may be, or how checkered our past may be, or how shameful we may have lived as his child, how wayward we may have been. Nope. When you turn to him and you trust in him and you fix your thoughts on him, what is he? Look at the last two words. Eternal rock. When you travel to Israel, you will see stones that weigh tons. Tons. They're the foundation often of temples, of structures. And Herod, who was one of the great builders of yesteryear, would use those stones as foundation stones. And he had his own signature. He would have the slaves put onto the stones before they would set them in place. How they moved those stones, amazing stories. But eternal rock, bigger, stronger, more reliable than any of those big stones across Israel. Because this rock is eternal. You will never hear the Lord answer back to you when you call on him, let's say in the middle of the night, that that's too much for me. I just can't handle all of that. No, he's the eternal rock. He never gives way. He never breaks under the load. He's never weak. You have nothing to fear when you turn to him. In fact, you must turn to him. That's why the word trust is also rendered fix your mind on, fix your thoughts on. You know how you can do that? You can be so fixed on something, you hardly hear what someone is saying. I suggest starting the day like that. Before your feet ever hit the floor, sit on the side of your bed and fix your mind on him. Today, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face. Or maybe you're able to say, I'm facing something I've been dreading, but I've got to face it. And I can't face it in myself. I need you. I rely on you. I want to fix my thoughts on you. And I want to leave it with you. I am not going to ruin my breakfast, my morning, my lunch, my day by worrying over what I've been dreading. I'm going to stop the dread and I'm going to leave it with you. It may be an adult son or daughter of yours that you can't fix. Stop trying. Stop trying. Give them over to the Lord. He's never met a wayward one he can't take care of. Now, he won't do it when you want it done, which is now. He may not do it like you want it done, which is sort of slap them around till they wake up. No, that's not his method. He may use suffering. He may use loss. I'm going to go a step further. He may use a prison sentence. He may use a death of someone they love. He may use some heartbreaking experience in their lives that crushes them, humbles them, and brings them back to him. Whatever. When you turn it over to him, you turn over the plan to him. You don't give him the method. It's his to choose. You're fixing your minds on him, not what he's going to do. Now, I've saved the best part of the verses till last, before we get to Hebrews 4. He will keep us in, look at it, perfect peace. This is not just peace. This is a double measure of peace. The Hebrew sentence says, he will keep you in peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. He will double up his peace when you really turn it over to him. He will give you a peace that you can't even describe sitting where you are right now, any of us. He will flood your churning place with a tranquility and relief you will find no place else. It's yours. It's the peace of Christ. It's the same peace that accompanied him all the way to the cross, which he bore on our behalf without one word of bitterness or blame. In fact, when you study the words of Christ on the cross, they're full of grace and mercy, and I'm going to say it, forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Those are words that come from the place of peace. You say, well, I can't imagine. You can have that kind of peace. You can imagine it. Otherwise, Isaiah is lying to us. Otherwise, it doesn't mean what it says. See, my job is to help you see what it says and then to get out of the way. And you take it from there. Right now, all you're hearing are words. They will do you no good, no great sermon or poor sermon, or long sermon, or short sermon ever did anyone any good until it was applied. I'm talking about letting peace rule your life. It's up to you. You can leave the same worry wart you came in as, and you're no different. This is real peace. This is shalom, shalom peace. The kind of peace the man had who owned a business I read about, and he had become worried sick over it, even though it was doing well. But there were people to hire, and there were people to train, and there were those on the staff that chose to leave and go somewhere else. He worried over that. He was worried over Should he broaden? Should he branch out? Should he enlarge? He worried over that. He worried over all parts of his business. And it was wearing him down. A friend of his said, you know, there's a seminar. It's a true story. There's a seminar that's available for business people. And it's really designed for people like you and me. We're both worriers. I think it's worth going to. They went to it together. It was there he learned words like ordained. You're ordained by God to fill this position, whatever it is you have. That means you're called by God. You're set apart by God to fulfill that position. People began to believe it. It was a weekend seminar, and by the last evening, they had testimonies of people who had been there, and they asked one man, as he stood to give his testimony, what do you do for a living? And his answer was, I'm an ordained plumber. Isn't that a great answer? You're an ordained whatever. Whatever's your position. And the man thought, I'm an ordained businessman. And the best part of that is, it's God's business. It's not mine. They took the flight home together. He thanked his friend for telling him about it. He said, this changes everything. Can't wait to talk to my wife. Went in the house, told her about the seminar. They went to bed. That night, the shrill ring of a telephone as one of his main staff persons called him to say, our buildings are on fire. You got to come down. So he got in the car quickly. His wife joined him and they drove down. And he watched it. It was just ablaze. The fire trucks got there too late to put them out. And his friend raced over to him and said, you don't even look worried. This is our building. These are our buildings. And he said, no, this is God's business. If he wants to burn it up tonight, that's up to him. Now, some of you hear that and think, that's silly. Really? That tells me you're still a worrywart. You're still churning. Because you think it's your responsibility. Now, there are things we do that are our responsibility, but we can't keep the buildings safe. You can't keep your home safe. We have alarm systems, we have lights, we have cameras we can set up, but you can't guarantee safety. Safety is of the Lord. You trust in Him to keep your family safe, to keep your business going. In our case, to keep our ministries going. We fix our minds on Him.
Although we like to think we're in control, the truth is, we're not. And that's why Isaiah instructed us with these words, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. This is Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Don't Miss the Entrance to Peace. And there's much more teaching coming in the days ahead, so please keep listening. You know, here at Insight for Living, we understand you can't listen every single day. And so if you miss any portion of Chuck's study on the fruit of the Spirit, remember you can listen to the entire series by downloading our convenient mobile app. Or if you prefer to own a tangible copy of Chuck's series, you can purchase all 9 studies on audio CD. Just call us at 800-772-8888. To complement this series, our creative team has put together a spiral-bound workbook for you. We call this our Searching the Scriptures Bible Study for the Fruit of the Spirit. This tool is for listeners who want to fully engage in a personal study through all 9 virtues that Paul identified in Galatians chapter 5. And you can order a copy right now by going to insight.org/workbooks. This nonprofit ministry is financially sustained by grateful listeners just like you. And today we'd like to say thanks to anyone who gives a contribution by sending you a brand new booklet written by Chuck. It's called How to Follow a Giant. You know, sometimes we wonder about the next generation and whether they'll embrace the faith that we hold dear. In his booklet, Chuck describes how to pass on wisdom to young leaders and how to honor the mentors who have gone before us. Ask for the booklet called How to Follow a Giant when you make a donation. You can send that in the mail to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. You can also call us at 800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org/donate.
Star of Paws and Tails.
Stop it, Ned. Hi, I'm Dave Carl, creator of Paws and Tails. My friend Ned and I would like to invite you to join us into the fun-filled town
that I live in called Wildwood.
Yes.
Paws and Tails is an audio series from Insight for Living Ministries, the Bible teaching ministry of Chuck Swindoll.
You are reading all my lines. Stop, Ned.
In Paws and Tails, we have tons of fun. Insert clip.
You don't say that part. It's just insert clip.
I have the best thing to share. No competition.
Oh, she sounds pretty sure of herself.
You could say she has moxie.
Oh, moxie? I like it. We should work it into more conversations.
My mom might have the baby this week.
That is the most exciting thing ever.
I don't know. Alphabet noodles are pretty exciting.
Guys, this is a new baby. A brand new person is about to be born.
I can't wait to meet your new little brother or sister.
Paws and Tails is just what your family's been looking for.
Yeah, it's fun and full of adventure, but we're also doing some really great teaching, too. Paws and Tails is just what your family's been listening for. See what I did there, Dave?
I do. Join us at pawsandtails.org, where you can imagine God's love.
I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe a peace that passes understanding. Tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Don't Miss the Entrance to Peace, was copyrighted in 2023 and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.